now being recorded?
So there's a second person.
First one?
Yeah.
All right, great. Thanks, Rich.
Why don't we start from the top?
Okay. So, with this opportunity with Jonathan, now retiring, effective January 3rd of 2020, and as I mentioned, he's been a great public servant to Wisconsin. Thank you, Jonathan. We do have an opportunity now to appoint a new person that is our responsibility as a board. They serve as an appointment to the board. And I have just been through too many executive appointments in the federal government side that have set the organization up for failure, and I don't want to see us do that. And so rather than rushing into it, I want to make sure that we as commissioners are all on the same page. And so what I have really put together is what are the goals, what can the goals and priorities be for the organization, and then how can that executive secretary work to kind of meet those and like align the position description. What's really unique about the agency, and Tom, Jonathan, please chime in, Rich, if I'm wrong, is that there's not much action in statute at all with regards to what the executive secretary is supposed to do. And I would even argue the things that are captured are a bit antiquated. This was back in 1848 when the BCCL was primarily a land organization. Since we have sold most of those lands, I really now view us in the 21st century more as an investment and financial agency that works on behalf of our beneficiaries to do that. So that is kind of the bigger picture. And so because of this, I think, unique situation, A, with fulfilling an executive secretary appointment, and B, our role as, I think, primarily a financial and investment entity, especially since we recently got prudent investor standards. That was given to us in 2015. The reality is while I believe the organization is working towards that, they were also boggled down with a lot of things that I think didn't enable them to fully build out an investment capability to the level that we would want or to see as fiduciaries. So I just want to make sure we are on the same page as commissioners, both with what this organization agency should be working towards, and then what that person feels that their overall position description is doing that. Does that?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
So rather than starting tabula rasa, I've put some thoughts together, because I think that's important for us to do that. Unfortunately, I do not have copies for everybody, so I apologize. Well, this is an updated one. I have three. Okay. So the first one is really just talking about, all right, what are the goals and priorities? And so I've really looked at it based on the core functions of the BCPL, which are either $1 million. Two, it's making sure that we operate effectively and see how do we manage our almost 80,000 acres of land. So under investment, really I think the biggest takeaway is how are we kind of continuing to build a comprehensive investment program? And what does that look like? And so to me, these five priorities would be things that we would work towards. In doing that. One is creating a performance scorecard, so we're very transparent about what are these measures with regards to whether it is return, whether it's how much we're serving, whether it's our economic impact, but being a lot more transparent in that. And I think then further publishing a report. This is just a practice in the financial industry. The second part is due diligence. So one of the things that honestly keeps me up at night is making sure we have a due diligence process with all of these new investments that we are making to ensure that not just the investment committee has looked at this, I think, from, you know, the best perspective, but also that we have an additional support in kind of justifying for these investments. Again, this is nothing out of the ordinary. This is very common with investing agencies and best practices. The third one is looking at creating a Wisconsin Impact Advisory Group. This really comes back from my experience in running our impact investing venture, where 21st century investing is looking at risk and return and how can we make sure that, when possible, investing in Wisconsin that is not compromising return. There's a lot of work that has been done in ensuring that when looking at different factors in investments, actually build a more resilient portfolio. And so I want us to be making sure that we are doing that. And there's, believe it or not, a handful of people in Wisconsin that are leading in these efforts, whether it's people from the business school to American Family. And so I think that getting that potential those thought leaders together to help us do this. The fourth one is in the investment committee, maybe expanding to 1 to 3 non-voting members. Currently, the investment committee has 4 people. It is 3 DCPL staff, the executive secretary, the deputy, and the chief investment officer, and then it is myself. And while I think that this is a good core voting group, I think it's important to have diverse thought and opinion to help ensure, again, we're moving forward with the best policies and procedures. And so building that. And then the final one is executing our asset allocation and developing a clear timeline. So we will be putting forth soon a new asset allocation to the commissioners. I think it's really important that we are clear on when we want to potentially hit these timelines. Diversification is a critical fiduciary responsibility. And so knowing when and how we're going to meet some of these, I think, are important. So I know I went through that really quickly, Josh. And I'm happy to further delve into it, but this is, again, based on my time here in the last year. I talked to a lot of colleagues in my space, and just, I think, making sure that we're moving forward in a responsible
manner. I have one process question for you. And you may have this thought already, so on some of these, since we're talking about sort of big picture issues, does it make sense to have some of those discussions when at a meeting that Doug is present at? Or, I mean, I recognize that part of this is in thinking about who the executive secretary should be. You should be thinking about some of these things. And I certainly think it's productive to have some high-level discussion about some of these things right now. But if we move towards adopting these as priorities and goals of the board, do we want to wait on that until, all 3 board members are present? I don't have a...
And I think actually that's right.
Can you need a thought?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this was more, let's take an opportunity to talk about this. And the reality is, I think this can be somewhat of a living document based on feedback from commissioners and staff. But I just wanted to kind of set forth an outline.
Yeah.
And knowing that the 3 of us have crazy schedules, and it seems like we're not going to be able to ever, potentially all 3 of us, I just want to make sure we're doing everything we can to move the ball forward. And so happy to, I think, part of the conversation was briefing with Doug, or with Doug afterwards to make sure he was up to speed.
I have kept Doug informed on this whole process.
So just a few quick thoughts,
yeah.
And I think we're on the same page on the process. First of all, thank you for putting all this together. It's obviously a lot of work and thought went into this, so I really appreciate that. In terms of the specific items, they generally look, they look like good priorities to set for our investments to me. I think a few of them, I would have some follow-up questions,
sure.
Like the kind of resources that would go into preparing a report, for example, and whether, given limited staff at DCPL, that standing is feasible. But I think as a sort of starting point for high-level priorities for the agency, I think these types of goals make a lot of sense.
And I think with that in mind, Josh, one of the things that I talk about actually under operations is updating the DCPL budget and personnel based on what this could look like, because I think you're right, one of their challenges is that they are a lean, mean machine. And I think one of the priorities has to be that we ask in this upcoming budget cycle for the resources that they need Especially knowing that prudent investor standard has given us additional responsibility, but with additional responsibility, I think it comes additional resources to make sure it works effectively. And so I think you're exactly right. And it's hard to figure out what that does look like if we're not sure what exactly we want to do. So to me, this is clearly contingent on what we can get and what we don't, but I think working towards that and setting that framework is the first step.
We have some ideas on staffing in the interim that we'd be very happy to share with you at any time. Because our major weakness that I see right now is a backup accounting function. I mean, that's just kind of critical. Ideally, we have a full-time position. Tom has been addressing this more than I. We've been working on it. We did go to see Waylon Hurlburt, who is the chief staff for
John Nygren.
For John Nygren, and had a candid conversation with him about getting a additional position for accounting, and he disabuses of the notion that that was likely without being able to cough up taking positions of our own. There's no new positions. So maybe Tom, you can talk about what our alternative might be. This is, I think, temporary, but it could be temporary for a year or two. But it's, I think, a good suggestion.
I guess, I don't know, Josh, if we want to go down a staffing discussion now. I guess, to me, the primary goal is to walk away with this executive secretary piece, and so I think that I would rather put that in the parking lot. I think what it comes down to is that there are going to be scenarios, and we're going to have to do contingency planning, of course, based on the legislature, I think based on a lot of different things. But to me, that's like a separate conversation. But I do think the budgeting piece is something that we're going to just have to, of course, figure out ourselves out. We don't want to set anybody up for failure. We want to set everybody up for success.
That makes sense, and I would certainly be interested to hear your thoughts on best ways to structure things, and so maybe we should put that on the agenda for one of the meetings we have coming up.
Yeah. I think that's like the best way to put it.
We have
to think
about it.
Yeah. Any questions on that first bucket? So then I think the second bucket goes into making sure we set them up for success, knowing that there have been changes in kind of roles and responsibilities, and part of that is, again, I think making sure that we'll, if we're doing everything, we're not doing anything well, is the reality. And that's where I think it's helpful that by setting kind of an overall high-level strategy and what those measures are, that helps people get focused. And then aligning that with budget and personnel, that's kind of how A and B goes hand in hand. I think that the third one is, I just my experience, Josh, and I don't know if you've been talking about this, is BCPL is one of the best test takers of the state of Wisconsin. And I think we could have a lot of advocates and people across the state really advocating for BCPL and all the work that they do, whether it's the State Trust Fund Loan Program. And so how are we reaching out to those people, communicating all the great work we're doing and kind of building that brand? And then I think the final one is, how are we building a relationship with the legislature? Especially in this very interesting time, to know the value that we're bringing to those communities and districts. So rather than us just being surprised when legislation pops up, we can always maybe be a bit more proactive. And are we cultivating relationships, especially since there was a significant new freshman class? But I think that's also something we don't want to lose sight of.
This all makes sense to me, too. I mean, the one sort of thing I would add on these is, just when we're thinking about external communication related to the agency or outreach with legislators or other policymakers who we're working with, being thoughtful about what the purpose is of the communication or the discussion we're having with somebody, you know, a legislator's office, for example, to me is important, because I want to make sure we're simultaneously working to achieve the goals of the agency, but also being, you know, thoughtful. careful about when we're using our resources
yep.
to communicate that sort of thing so that we're there's a clear goal in our minds.
Okay. And then the last one is just land. So this has been an interesting transition, especially since we currently still have 80,000 acres, almost 80,000 acres of public land. We have a handful of staff still managing it in northern Wisconsin. And so what are we doing to reduce our unproductive land, but still upholding the agency's history effective stewardship? And then at the same time, right now, and I think we should just keep talking about this, our land, for a lot of different reasons, is not considered a part of our overall portfolio at the end of the day. And so how can we think about making sure that we have that, like, you know, land is a value piece to it. It would add almost $3 million to our portfolio if we looked at that. But I just want us to be, I think, really thoughtful in how we're doing these things when it comes to land management.
You said almost
3 million? Yeah. Isn't that the number? Or 4 million?
3.
Oh, it's 30 million?
Yeah, it's about
35. Oh, did I miss the 0 or the 5?
All about the 0.
Sorry, I don't want to miss that 0 or the 5. I got the 3 right, Tom.
Actually, that's an appraisal at a fire sale value of 1 month ago, which would be a lower amount than selling it.
The two points are good, except the first one, we're kind of ending up using almost the language of some of our detractors. We don't have a selling problem, we have a demand problem. Because of the fact that if you look at what we have, I'd love to sell 40,000 acres tomorrow.
Right.
The problem is that there is no demand for those types of wetlands. And so part of the biggest issue that we have is how do we create demand for
Yeah, and I think it, to that point, Tom, I think you're right. And when I wrote, like, reduce unproductive land, I think you're spot on. It's been a very painful process. We won't bore you, Josh, with all of Tom's stories and Jonathan's about going up north, but I just want to make sure that we're not losing track of it, and I don't think that we need to be putting a timeline associated with it. I think this is a very, this goes back to like a long-term strategy and how can we go about that.
Yeah. Believe it or not, DCTL has gone for generations without selling.
Sure.
And so it wasn't until 2000 that we actually started selling land to the public. We quickly found out why it was difficult. You know, no matter the fact that we have tested the waters and talked to people and got appraisals, so far.
And I think that goes back to too, how much time are we spending on land versus other things, and if so many resources, like, that's all I can try that conversation.
Okay, well, again, sir, thank you for putting these thoughts down in writing and for outlining some of the high-level things we ought to be thinking about as a board.
Any flags?
No.
All right. So I think the next step with this piece is going to be share with Doug before we move forward. But to me, I just wanted to kind of talk about this out loud. Kind of cast some key ideas. So then following that is the position description.
That document.
Oh, maybe that's not that.
I haven't.
No, we don't. Oh, here, you guys haven't
done
this yet.
No.
And I apologize, I only have 3 copies.
I don't have my copies.
Yeah, okay.
This is not an electronic?
No.
Okay.
I actually tried to write this with Attorney General Colin Line. So you will notice that it provides an overview, which again I think the core kind of competency of this position is strategy, finance, operations at the end of the day. But you will see, because I thought this might come up, Josh, is what is the executive secretary really responsible for in statute? that's really what that second section covers, is it's really focused on land management and certification, which I think was very relevant during the 19th and 20th century. We sold a lot of those lands, and now we are managing an over $1 billion fund because of the sales. So that's really all that is said, which I think provides us more flexibility and opportunity just to make sure that we're kind of providing some parameters around what we hope this person can work for.
And just so I understand the goal with this document, in our last call, or based on our last call, my understanding is that the executive secretary is in an unclassified position, which means sort of appointee. So it's not a DOA requirement that there be a formal position description, but the goal of this is to sort of give guidance to the person who's filling the role.
Yeah, you would give them like these documents to say. Because I think there's no classification document. And because of that, it's different. So again, it's broken down into this leadership and operational excellence, financial administration, and lands oversight. I mean, in my mind, because coming from corporate America, kind of like the CEO of an entity is what I really look at this role. So we want to make sure they have strong leadership capabilities to everything from managing teams, building that culture, advising the board, to how are we optimizing our operations, how are we setting for strategy, looking at, again, that government affairs and public affairs piece that we just talked about as part of the strategy, developing relationships. So that's kind of the core things that are covered under that leadership and operational piece.
This includes the statutory requirements, but it also includes other things that have come to be expected of the role over time.
Because I think it goes back to statutes set forth good for land management, but now we're looking at the 21st century, not the 19th and 20th. So what does the agency need today? And what are those things
you
hope this leader can achieve?
Actually, some of the duties that are there, we're just turning over from the chief clerk. The person. For roughly 100 years, he was the chief clerk.
This person knows it evolves beyond that a little bit, Tom.
But you are absolutely the 18th and 19th, it's really more than 18th. Because when you think of how many acres you drew here,
right,
you're talking almost 10 million. By the time you hit the early 1900s,
right,
you were down to several hundred thousand.
Right.
So you're talking about already by that point in time, 90%+ of the country.
Yes.
I had something that's probably going to be, I just want to allude to it because it's probably going to show the next question for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in late 2017, I asked the Department of Personnel Management to do an evaluation of the three key positions in the CCPO. And I have the documents that they prepared that just led to the reclassification of these two and the assessment of the protective secretary. So at least with these two, there's really good position.
Right.
Of what they're doing today,
right,
their job is entered in the modern world.
Yep.
And also the executive director, so I'll share that with you.
Okay.
Discussion.
And has the PCPL staff had an opportunity to take a look at this, or is it just this?
Yeah. I really based it on this. The follow that.
Very good, sure.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to see
this. Do you all have general feedback on this or thoughts, or?
I kind of share your attitude. It's a really good kind of outline of where you, of how you want to deal with the future.
Okay, thank you.
No, I think it captures things. Pretty well.
And just so I understand the, again, this, we're just talking in generalities. I'm trying to interrupt you.
The one piece that's not in here
and immediate thought on that is, I mean, ultimately, it's the responsibility of the person in this position, but that doesn't mean that a lot of the day-to-day type of work that goes into that isn't work that you might want to delegate. And, you know, public and government affairs, outreach and stakeholder management, I think you're right, those are certainly important aspects of the job, and just figuring out the allocation of responsibility. I'm comfortable having that decision made by the executive secretary, but the affairs, I don't know if you want to talk about that.
I mean, my thought was, let's set forth what we believe at the top, and then let that person figure out how they want the organization to run. I think the other thing that is really unique, and Tom has pointed this out before, Josh, is that I'm clearly a unique chair, and I'm a little bit more involved in this. I don't want to say day-to-day, but they have to deal with me maybe weekly, which is like chairs here again. And so I think...
Richard never says that.
So I think part of it too is how can I also be helpful in this too.
The other thing is this because this is an appointee, we can always modify sort of the expectations. We can bear in mind, I think it's great, and I think it should set forth the goals we have, but if down the road circumstances change and it makes sense to have some other responsibilities that person can
And I would also say, in addition to the investment committee, I have had check-ins, for example, with Johnson at our regular. So we're like keeping, what's going on, how do we need to adapt, how do we need to be flexible, what are things that are alarming. So I think that's part of it, too, is I'm not somebody who just comes and goes every other week. We check in. So I don't know if you want me to go through these steps. So I went through the leadership one under finance and more of this, how are we building this more comprehensive investment capability, so the investment oversight, working kind of again with this and building this investment strategy. I think one thing that could be really helpful is this network. You know, there are so many really smart people out there and for these relationships that we can reach out to and that want to help us. That's really fine, the BC Girls mission impressive. And then I think the final piece goes back to that budget piece. How are we building a budget? How are we advocating for that budget? So that's kind of the financial piece. And then the land, again, is more working to build that long-term strategy so we're optimizing timber and, again, the whole thing kind of stewardship.
Great.
Last question. Okay. All right. So if there's no further questions, I think, again, this is a conversation from a process perspective. We'll get dug in on this. But I do think that there is somebody that could fit it within this, which is going to require us to go into closed session under that section 1985.1.2. So I just want to make sure we're following all of this. Am I doing this correctly?
Yeah, I think we have to adjourn the public portion of the meeting.
And then I have to reopen under...
Right, we'll probably want to call somebody, presuming you want me to stay in the closed session.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, then,
So I have to adjourn the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I move.
Second.
Hey, Mr.
Perry. Is that the recording there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll hang up.
So we're just coming back from closed session, and is there a motion to adjourn the public meeting?
There is. So second.
Great.
Try move. Sorry.
I second that. All those in favor of adjournment say aye.
Aye.
Aye, Sarah. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.